Hello and welcome to How To Money, a financial education podcast for young Australians aimed at opening up the conversation around money. In each episode, your host, Kate Campbell, brings in a variety of guests to explore everything from buying shares to starting your own business, all with the aim of kickstarting your personal finance journey. Just a quick reminder that everything we cover in this podcast is for financial education purposes only, and we are not giving you any advice. If you do want advice, please seek the help of a qualified and competent professional and do some research. Remember, it's your money, so take control. Liz, welcome back to the How To Money podcast today.
Thanks, Kate. So great to be back. I've been really looking forward to our conversation.
It's good to chat again, and we're going to be talking something slightly different from the last conversation, which was more about money and relationships. And this is another popular topic for my listeners, is talking to your children and other children and young people in your life about money. And I apologize if it's a little bit noisy because there's someone cutting various things in the laneway near where I live, but hopefully it doesn't disrupt the conversation too much and you can still hear all of Liz's wonderful advice during this episode. Now, Liz, just so if people haven't listened to part one and want a bit of a refresher on who you are, can you give us like the 1 minute elevator pitch of who you are and what you do and what you're bringing to the conversation today?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So I run a small business alongside the work that I do teaching accounting at the local uni. So I run a small business, focuses primarily on women, helping women be empowered with financial literacy skills to really help them to take control of their money, be more purposeful with how they use it, and also to overcome any sort of money challenges that they're currently working through. So that's kind of the space that I operate in. It's really helping them prevent them from moving into financial hardship. So whereas a financial counselor would work in that space. So if you are someone who's struggling with debt, that's someone you would go to. But if you're really not struggling with debt, but you know, feel like you don't want to get into that space, I'm someone who can certainly help with budgeting, managing your money, and also the emotional side of it too.
Awesome. And financial counsellors are always a resource I like to point out because most people don't realise that they are free in Australia.
Absolutely free. Yes, it's an amazing service.
Awesome. And before we dive into today's conversation, I think the starting point a lot of people go is, how can I help someone else if I don't understand the basics of personal finance myself, because we haven't been taught that in schools. So before we get into how to actually help young people in your life, where would you start to sort of educate yourself so you're in a position to help them?
Well, I'd firstly say, don't put off the conversation just because you don't feel like you're a finance expert or you haven't been taught. It's actually sometimes a really great place to still start with a young person, to be open and honest and share what you're working through yourself. So if it's that you're in a position where you'd feel like you're struggling, to share that with them, not to burden them with it, but say that this is what I'm working through. I'm actually just trying to identify who it is that might be able to help me. So I'm going to go and see a financial counselor because I have all this debt, and I'm going to go and see that person and work through. And you could share with them some of what you're doing. So I guess that's the first point. Please don't put it off. Still try and create an environment where you can be somebody in that young person's life that they can talk to about money, even if their situation may not be the idealistic one, like yours may not be, that it's just something you can talk about. That's probably the key thing. And if there are things that you feel like you could be better on, certainly go seek out help with that. If it's budgeting, if it's being in control with particular parts of your spending that you have trouble with, look into that. But you do it alongside that conversation with the young person. That would be my recommendation.
Wonderful. And when's the right age to start bringing up this conversation? Because I'd imagine that it's not always a good idea to talk about investing at the age of 3, but it might be a good idea to talk about how much pocket money you get each week.
Yeah, such a great question. And again, my response would be the wrong age would be not an age. So please talk to them about it. And definitely, yes. So you're already picking up on, we're talking about young people sort of under the age of 18 here. So yes, you can have different conversations at different ages, depending on, you know, what is relevant and appropriate. But certainly at a young age, I've got 2 young children of my own, they're going to be seeing you already developing and watching how you relate to money, just purely through going to the shops. How do you buy? And simple things like groceries, you know, if it's them wanting something, how do you manage that situation? How do you talk to them about money? They might overhear conversations about earning money. You might sell something on Gumtree and they'll watch that. So even at that really young age, they're already learning about money just through watching you. So really important to be aware of that firstly. And what I encourage a lot of my clients to do as well is, even at those young ages and throughout, is where you can, and don't overdo it, but you're the greatest resource for them in developing a relationship with money. And I'm not putting all the pressure on you to be, you know, the best finance expert, but it's being honest and kind about how you're approaching your money and what you're doing with it, and being aware. So some of those awareness skills are actually, we talk about the finance hardcore ones, and that's really important, those financial literacy skills, but also self-awareness and being able to say, instead of getting really annoyed that you overspent on something, to be able to share that and then look at one of my options. And that's when you can sort of start to educate them on some of the consumer law parts as well, you know, the importance of keeping receipts, managing a purse, having somewhere safe to put your money. Some of those simple things are really important. So to answer your question, the age is, please just have the conversation. Make it a topic that isn't taboo. We have moved slightly away from that, particularly from generations gone, where it was something that you would never, ever speak about. But make it a conversation and a topic that's one that isn't loaded, that is something that you can speak openly and honestly about. And that would be a really great starting point.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the way our parents talk or don't talk about money when we're growing up really impacts us as adults. And I talk to many of my friends, and they come from different backgrounds where maybe their parents talked about money in a positive way, a negative way, or it was just not allowed to be spoken about at all. That really impacts them today. And some of them have to really think about, how is what I grew up with impacting me today, and how can I sort of find a new way to move ahead because it's holding me back?
Absolutely. So there's nobody that wouldn't be influenced by what they saw. And as you said, it can be positive and negative. So you can have two children in the same family who have watched the same thing, but their interpretation or the impact that had on them can be so different. And that's obviously okay. We're all different, unique individuals. But when you get to that point where you can actually acknowledge it and you can be aware of it and also own it, in a sense that you've kind of gone, oh, okay, so I've picked up this habit because I watched my mum be fearful of something. And you can then at that moment acknowledge, okay, is this something that is really going to be helpful and useful to me in my money relationship going forward? And you can then start to unpack it. And that awareness is absolutely so powerful. So yeah, definitely it's a starting point. When I'm working with clients, we always start with, where are you now with your finances? So it's about, where are you with your money? So what do you owe? What do you own? You know, what is your normal sort of flow? What are your spending habits? But also an acknowledgement of where you are emotionally. So what are your beliefs and habits? But also, what has your history been with money, going all the way back? And that really helps you to understand yourself and gives you that space to think, well, what do I want to keep carrying with me throughout my life and my relationship with money? So, and it's really important. I know a lot of people will quickly try to blame or get frustrated, but there's also your role in that as well. And that's probably where you would see a child come through. You couldn't expect that necessarily, that awareness under the age of 18. You may find children, but probably going into your 20s, people will certainly start to reflect as they're independent. And it'd be really good to encourage them to think about, yeah, what are those experiences that they had? How are they impacting them? And how can they kind of craft and shape them to be more positive going forward?
Are there any particular stories or examples of money conversations you've had with your young children that have either sort of stuck with them, or you've seen they've actually sort of picked up on it in a small way?
Trying to create, I guess, a learning space for children and young people with money is one of the key things that I've noticed in my own, is how different they are. And I created the same kind of situation and setup in terms of giving them exposure to money and saving, but just their personality around money and their relationship with material things and what their goals were very different. And I really found it helpful at first to try, and this is always hard for parents, really sit back and let them experience who they are and how they manage their money and the decisions that they make, even if that means that they end up spending it all and realizing that they've bought all of these things they don't like and that their sibling still has money left over and they're annoyed. All of those, and that can be difficult to watch, but really important for them to learn through those experiences. So it's being able to sort of step back and not judge the decisions that they make with their money as well, really important, because that's how they're going to learn and they're going to make a decision for themselves now and really start to understand, what is it that I really value? What am I getting value from with my money? And that's a really core, important experience you don't want to take away from them. So that's sort of stepping back, and that they do have different relationships with money. A great thing that I started to implement, so really early on when my kids was they were still in kindy, and I found myself spending money on them sort of haphazardly, as a lot of parents do. Spending money on your kids and delighting them is addictive. Like, it's hard, and you know, but you know that doing that without boundaries, just like giving them sugar without boundaries, is not healthy. So I realized that I needed to sort of give them their own money. And we'll talk about pocket money in a second, but this was just something that worked for us. Very small amounts of money that they would get each week. But we decided, we sort of sat down and said, what is the purpose of us giving this money to them? What are we really trying to teach them? The first thing we wanted to teach them was the power of saving and how important it is to save, to get that saving habit in there early and realize the power of saving and what it can mean for them. So what we did was incentivize it. So we sort of gave them $3 a week. They had to save $1. So this was during a term, you know, a 10-week term. They had to save a dollar, but by the end of the term, we would double whatever they had saved. So one child just put in the $1 and the other put the whole $3 in. So at the end of it, we doubled them and they had different amounts and they could see that. And now they predominantly save all they get through the term, and then they have money for the holidays. We don't buy them toys at all haphazardly. So that's completely their domain, and that's what the purpose of the money is. So that's been a really positive experience that we've had. And I've had other clients do similar things, even with older children. Incentivizing the thing that you're wanting them to really develop and grow can be quite helpful.
And I know pocket money always seems to be quite a controversial topic with children, and like, should they even get any? How much should they have? At what age should it start? Should it increase year by year? What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, it's such an interesting one, isn't it? And again, I wouldn't be prescriptive at all. I can share a couple of examples of how different families have done it differently. And firstly, I would be very clear about you managing your own family budget and not just trying to pay out the market rate of whatever pocket money is, because I think it's quite, you know, for teenagers, it can be quite a lot of money. So you need to work out what it is, firstly, what's manageable within your own family budget. So working out what that budget is, and even having that young person sit alongside that conversation you're having with your partner, or if you're working through it yourself, working out, you know, what money would you allocate to them to take responsibility for, and be clear about what it is. So some families I've seen actually giving responsibility for money quite a decent amount each week or fortnight, but that person is responsible for their clothing budget. If they lose their goggles at swimming, they've got to replace them. But they can also use their money for additional entertainment things or going out, that kind of thing as well. And they've worked out, okay, this is the amount that we would spend on clothing normally. So you're not actually giving them above and beyond. You're actually just allocating them that amount to manage. So that can be quite helpful. So you've got to be very clear about what the purpose of that money is as well when you're giving it to the child, and make sure that they know what it is for, so that expectation is clear, because you don't want them to, you know, you've given them the money thinking they've got to replace their goggles, but they didn't know and they've just spent it all on something else. So really important to be clear about the purpose. And then there's other people who, as you say, it's not through having an allowance or whatever it is. They might actually allow them to learn about money in different ways. So it might be giving them the budget for maybe a meal and they need to go to the supermarket and they need to manage that. Obviously not a very young child, but a teenager could certainly do that. So you're giving them exposure and understanding of managing money in those ways, as opposed to just paying them each week. But others will also, you know, in repayment for other duties around the house. There's obviously mixed feelings around that as well. It certainly comes down to, I'd be working with an individual, understanding, you know, what their values are, how their house works, what is it that they're really wanting to teach the child as well, and the experience they want to give. So definitely don't fall into the trap of just following peers and matching the amounts that others are getting. Really important to also prioritize your own financial situation and that it fits in with your plan, and you can explain that to a child too.
Yeah, and I think just having those discussions and, as you said, outlining what this money is actually for, so everyone's really clear on that. If it's to manage their own clothing and toothpaste budget, that's quite different to just maybe some extra money for the canteen.
Totally. Yeah. And even if it is just for the canteen, you're still allocating, you know, I budgeted this much for groceries each week, and okay, now I'll give you $10 a week and you can use it at the canteen. It's coming from somewhere. It's not adding on to your expenses, so to speak.
Yeah. I remember growing up always feeling quite jealous of the kids that would have more money for the canteen, and I'd be there with my salad sandwich. But I guess that meant someone cared back then to make the salad sandwich. But yeah, it was quite interesting, and just different ways, like talking to everybody. It's such, everyone had such different experiences growing up of like how their parents dealt with that, whether they had that in the budget, what they actually used their money for, how early they got jobs. And I guess maybe even just talking to other people in your life about how they manage it to get some ideas would probably help there.
Yeah, definitely as well. And it does start to bring in some of those other surrounding topics around money that are important as well. You just touched on in terms of the points of comparison, find as a family as well. And it's just that, you know, families do things differently, or we do things differently. You'll see that somebody buys a different car to you, or a different kind of house, has different kind of holidays, and that those aren't things that are sources of stress. Sometimes they can be for children. They can think, oh, are we not doing so well? Or, you know, what's happening financially? But if you talk to a child about that and explain, you know, what is your plan? And this is this certain amount of money that you're managing because you're putting this aside for maybe you're planning to have a bigger holiday in X amount of years, or that you're saving to pay for their education, or whatever it might be, that it just helps them to feel respected too within that whole domain, as opposed to being left out of it.
Yeah, because as a kid, you do, if you don't have the full picture, which you probably won't get the whole picture, but you don't have that point of reference. So you're comparing and you have no idea of the rest of the situation. You're just seeing other people's lunch boxes or other people's clothes, and you don't really go, why do they have that and I don't? I mean, we still do that to an extent as adults, but maybe sometimes we have a little bit more context.
Absolutely. But it is interesting, isn't it, though? Like, financial lives, is they are invisible. And that is also an important thing to learn. And we all, as adults, as you say, we're still dealing with that, and we'll still make those comparisons. But it is one part of your life that you absolutely do not know someone's situation at all. Actually, it's not helpful. It's not a helpful comparison to make, because you don't know what situation they're in, and it's really not your business. So you come back to, what are the resources that I have? What are my financial resources? What am I stewarding? What am I looking after? And to try and embed some of that kind of approach into, you know, how you're communicating with your kids, I think can be helpful too, to just bring them back to where their focus is, and where those places of contentment and peacefulness, because you really want to try and develop or support them to cultivate, was what I'm trying to do through my client work, is a peaceful relationship with your money, not one that's churning with stress and anxiety and comparison and never enough. We need to sort of step back and really help the next generation to, yeah, come back to where they are with what they're doing and look at the options that they have. So, yeah, it's a really important role that we can play in young people's lives.
And they pick up on so much, even if you don't realize, even if you're not explicitly saying it, they can sort of see those emotions and how you're feeling and reacting to different things.
Absolutely. And as you said, if they're only getting bits of the picture, some of those things could then cause anxiety. So better to try and give them a little bit of a narrative, at least around what's going on. You don't have to tell them everything. They are children, and you don't need to overload them. Really important that they don't get overloaded with responsibility too, I'd probably say that. Make sure that they're still enjoying life and finding that fun. That's what childhood is all about. But just to give them a little bit more context to hopefully ease, you know, some of the worries, or even little tips that you might have yourself of how you manage some of these thoughts and things as an adult. You know, if you see something that somebody else has and you're like, ah, what is it that you think? What is the thought process that you go through that can be helpful to them as well?
You mentioned earlier about helping your kids learn the value of saving. And I think that's another thing that's important to discuss, is how do you find and help kids understand the balance between spending money and enjoying it with friends and families and activities and buying things for yourself versus saving for future goals as a kid. So I guess maybe that's saving up for a toy or an iPad, and then also giving to others.
Yes. And it's a lot for a young child to think of in terms of all of those different possibilities, I found. And that was when we started off trying to encourage them to think of, you know, the easy, the you want to save and you want to share. So the spend, save, share jars. And it was too much. So we just had a wallet, which that was their day-to-day spending. And then they had a jar which in which they could save. At any point, they could think about sharing if they wanted to. But that was, I found, a much better conversation to have as a family. So we have money that we share, and we would talk about, well, what do we want to use this for? I didn't put that burden on them necessarily. But now and again, they would still give some money to a busker, or, you know, whatever it was, they could see, they could start to develop that. I think at that really young age, it's probably perhaps a bit of an overload, but it's certainly an idea for them to think about, definitely. And you might find a child, they are so beautifully aware of social and environmental issues so early on that they might see something and it might spark them. You might, you know, take them here where Crumbin Sanctuary, they might be there and they'll see a little donation thing to help with the Tassie Devils. Just allow them to experience and see those things. They might ask, oh, what is that? And you could talk about it. But I think the best place is for them to be deciding what they want to do with their money themselves. So show them what are the different options and then maybe not mandate it. We mandated the saving. We didn't mandate it. We were trying to really encourage it because it's such an important part of having a peaceful relationship with money is always having savings and having hopefully that will get them to the point that when they're becoming adults that they'll have an emergency fund. And then that's going to really push them forward to then, you know, looking at they don't need to touch that and then they can start saving towards other things. So that was kind of our goal there. So it is hard to balance it, but I think, again, that just letting them have that exposure to there are different things you can do with your money along with investing. So there's a whole range of things. And then really following their interest and their questions and trying to help it sort of grow organically like that. That would probably be my best advice.
And even things like casual clothes days where there's a gold coin donation or bake sales. I remember my mum was like, before I give you $2 or if we were asking for money at that time, you actually need to find a fact about that organisation the money's going to so you actually know where you're handing that $2 off to.
Yes, this is great. Yeah. So if a lot of our beautiful young kids are so curious and will ask questions already, which is wonderful, they'll be saying, well, why are we all wearing this shirt today? Or what is this about? Which is great. And then that's obviously you can prompt them to have that conversation. But if they're not, I think that's wonderful to continually bring that awareness around what are some of the things that are important to fund and that there are people that do need assistance as they, you know, come about, if it's bushfires, if it's, you know, during COVID, all of those different things that come out as we go through life. It's good to, yeah, definitely share with them what they're about and where the money goes. Really important too, and how it does help.
Absolutely. And they're good skills to have even as an adult when you're donating to charities. Are they actually effective organisations? And just asking a few questions rather than just blindly handing off the money.
Absolutely. And that's probably what I would say too. If you do have a certain amount like in your budget as a family and you work out how much you give each year and you're doing that research about as a family, where would you like it to go? Showing them, explaining, and if you're doing it together and you're looking at, well, how much the administration costs, where does it go, where are the people, what are the real evidence around what the impact is, and being able to make some of those meaningful decisions is, yeah, really, really important.
And if we move to slightly older kids, maybe we're past the age of 10 now and we can start making some more decisions, what are your thoughts on encouraging kids to get part-time jobs? I mean, under 15. I'm not sure what the current age in Victoria is, but you can do things like the newspaper round or helping do some gardening for neighbours, and then sort of like getting to the older age when you end up getting your part-time job at KFC or something like that.
Yeah, and I think here in Queensland, I think it's 13 and 9 months, which when I was young, it was 12 and 9 months, and I was super keen to work and loved it. And I think part-time work is absolutely another great way for children to learn. Obviously, the part around earning money and having a job, they'll learn a lot about themselves in terms of, you know, what work do they like? What are some of the challenges that they'll experience? And you'll grow, obviously, personally through that experience. And that's probably another topic to be somebody, hopefully, that, you know, they could chat to you about, making sure that the workplace they're in, you know, respectful behaviour, all of those kind of things are really important, that they're well supported in the role that they're doing. But obviously, having an external source and independence around earning money can give children a lot of confidence. You know, it's a great learning space, but it's not for every child either. So it's really individual. I wouldn't say everyone's got to have a job by this age. Parents, you know their kids better than anyone. If you've got someone who's really, really keen and really does want to work, being someone that could support them, but not forcing somebody who's not feeling like that's what they want to do is not necessarily, I think trying to take where your child is interested, following that is often the best thing as well. But yeah, definitely those, even moving into those jobs that we all smile about, that we've all had, your KFC, McDonald's, it was Toys R Us for me, really great learning space and really gives you that new sense of independence too and capability, which is what you're really trying to prime your child ready for as they move into adulthood as well.
Yeah, I remember my first KFC job, I just spent everything I made. And my parents kind of were like, oh, you might like to save some money. But I was like, nah, I just got to enjoy it. And so it wasn't until after I finished high school that I finally went, oh, saving money is actually a good thing to do.
And that's perfectly okay too. And even having had that experience, I think that's where you've, as a parent, sometimes it's hard. You can't expect your child to get it right or want them to have a perfect relationship with money in the beginning. It's almost let them be messy and have some of those uncomfortable, make the wrong decision, have to take something back and know that you've kind of had that experience of just you've let them know what it's like to spend everything. And where possible, if you can prompt them even just to have self-reflection, that's probably a worthwhile thing as well. Not to get them to think that they've got to change, but to even on the giving space, how did it feel? How did you feel when you gave that exchange of money? When you bought X and spent your whole pay packet, how did that feel? What did you, you know, in comparison to this, you know, how are you feeling with those decisions you're making? And get them to just have a little bit of that self-reflection and really be honest. And you're not being judgmental. So you've got to suspend all your judgments and just let them be them. And I think that's probably a really positive thing you could do.
Absolutely. And if we move on to investing, which I know a lot of my listeners personally do, and you want to start bringing up that conversation with kids in your life, I think there's probably, I don't know when you would talk about it, but I don't think I would have been interested or understood for age maybe 15 at least. And I didn't really start investing until after high school. But I know so many of the Facebook groups, the financial independence groups and things in Australia now, they're teaching their kids about investing in their teens, and they're already starting to think about putting money into different shares and companies. How would you approach that conversation, or have you got some examples from your clients?
I think, again, you can't be forcing your child to be interested in investing. You'll probably turn them off for life. So, and I think it's really important to protect that childhood space, to make sure that we're not putting extra demands on them to become, and almost be careful that you're not putting your own self into them. You've got to separate. It's not your self-worth. It's not how your identity into what they do. That's where you've got to be really, really careful to let them be themselves, to provide them with different ideas and experiences, but for them really to come back to making their own decisions. So whilst you might have a child who's really interested in investing and might ask about it, of course, answering those questions, if you don't know yourself, looking it up together, getting a book from the library, let's read a bit about this. They might read a bit and you might have some questions, and that could evolve quite nicely. If yourself, you invest, and most of us do have investments through our super, if they're interested, you could even, you know, show them what is investing, even just in terms of shares, and what does that mean? Oh, so can you buy a little bit of a company? Talk to them about that, I think, can be really helpful. But certainly not having the expectation that they've all got to be like finance investing experts, and if your child's not one, but everybody else is, and how are they going to get ahead? I think that's a really tricky space, and we've got to be really careful about that as well. So, yeah, if you've got a young child who's, you know, I might be opening, you know, one of my own investment things or reading something, and my son might come, oh, what is that? I'll explain what it is. If he's interested, he'll ask. What if he most likely will walk away? And that's okay, as long as they've got some of these ideas floating around and they're not, you know, brand new. The central kind of message, I think, for me is where possible, that whatever it is that you're working through yourself with your finances, if you're being able to share it with them, and maybe it's not even directly, but if you're able to sort of sit in the same room as them and have that conversation with yourself or your partner as you're working through something, they will listen to that. And that's going to be probably the best role modeling for them to hear, okay, they're having a conversation about money. They're having a conversation about what they want to do in the future together. They've got this amount of money and they're deciding what to do with it. That's really powerful. Yeah.
So just letting them hear those conversations, and you even using the language about money and investing, even if you don't talk explicitly to them about, oh, here's a brokerage account and like, let's get your first ETF.
I don't think that's, yeah, no, definitely. And I think that's really important. It's the language, because that will allow them to step into that space really easily and not be, because a lot of what we find through research too is obviously people are scared or don't understand it, feel like that they don't have the skills or knowledge. So if you can at least bridge some of that gap through exposure and the length, that's a huge stepping stone. Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I think kind of ties a lot of this together is, as a child, you kind of want to encourage your kids or kids in your life to take those healthy risks, whether it's with saving and not having something today, and with part-time jobs, and even like starting little businesses. What are some ways that you can encourage the young people in your life to take some of these healthy risks?
Well, it's the perfect time to be doing them, absolutely. And if we're talking about risk, it would think about what are the risks you're actually considering and how big are they in the whole scheme of things. So obviously, you're making sure all of their safety and everything like that is not at risk. That's always got to be a primary too as a child. That's the first and foremost, that whatever they're doing, they are safe in whatever they're looking at, you know, if they're creating a new enterprise or whatever it is. but it's certainly the perfect space to make a mistake, you know, in terms of financial risk. As long as they're, because I guess we've talked about investing, but also part of the exposure should be, and conversations really should be around debt as well, and making sure that, well, no one's going to be getting into credit card debt yet, and they shouldn't be exposed to any of that. So the limit of financial risk should be lower. So it might be that they spend all their money on something and they don't like it anymore, or they spend it and it's spent and then they feel disappointed. So they're probably the most common kind of risks that you might experience. Or they put themselves out there, build a business, they put all this money behind it, setting something up. So it might be hundreds of dollars maybe if they've saved it up, and then it doesn't quite work. So those risks in the scheme of things are actually really valuable and not detrimental to that person in the whole scheme of things. So I think encouraging them to, if you see them interested in something, make sure it's really coming from them and you're not putting too much of yourself in it. It's not like, oh, I want to build a business, and then you're out there and you're making it all and designing the, you know, putting the Facebook page up and all of this. The big thing, which I know can be hard for parents, is stepping back. If they have that interest and drive, all of those things can be a really great learning space around money, but let them go out there. It's almost like creating that sandpit and then just letting them explore and find the bits that they're interested in, and just shadow, stand alongside them. But certainly encourage them. Yeah, get them to try different things. Let them spend their whole pay packet and then just, you know, be there, create the space and listen, non-judgmental, compassion, you know, all those patience, kindness, all those things, just to have that for that child and just see how they evolve in their relationship with money.
Mm, and I think so many of those early experiences, even just reflecting on my situation, you look back now and you go, oh, there were so many like random schemes like my sister and I were dreaming up to make a bit of money, or different jobs that you started and quit, or yeah, wasting all your money for a while. And then looking back now, I'm like, what on earth did I spend it on? But I think they were really healthy to have looking back now, because I learned a lot from them and now I know what I do and don't want to do with my money going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So you don't want to take that, and you don't want to cut somebody's idea short, or just as they're about to spend all that money, say, oh no, you want to save it, or, you know, don't put all those layers on them. Giving them that opportunity, it's the best time to learn all of that really valuable stuff through their own experience. They're not going to hear you saying, oh, don't do this, because if I didn't do that, blah, blah, blah. Just let them experience it. Yeah, I think that's fabulous.
Wonderful. It's always good to learn from your own mistakes, especially when they're not going to lead to too much detriment, especially when you're young. It's not like you're going to end up starting a business and ending up with $100,000 of business debt, because hopefully you're only starting with $100 or so. So it's a good time to experiment and encourage your kids and young people in your life to try different things.
Absolutely. And as you said, through that you learn the most about yourself, and knowing yourself is one of the greatest assets you're going to have, right? Like, you're going to know, what am I good at? What do I like doing? What about that didn't I like? And you might not be like really intellectualizing this, but on some level you've had that experience, and you'll be like, okay, and it will slowly help guide you to, you know, a job that you like, a way that you can earn it. And then it will help you to make informed decisions about how you spend it. You've had that experience, that direct experience. I know the ways that I like spending my money. I know the ways I like sharing it. And you've got these ideas about investing somewhere. And that's probably a reasonable thing for a parent or an adult who is around young kids, thinking about keeping that in mind. What is the kind of end in mind that you would like for your child? You know, when they get to 18, what is it that you're hoping, not a money amount, not a dollar amount, but the exposure, the experiences that they've had that you're wanting to try and, I guess, facilitate for them and give them the space, and then kind of work back from there and think, okay, well, what are the things that I can do to help support them to be as capable financially as possible? And a lot of it's emotional too, you know, the decision making, the way they approach it and then respond to possibly something, you know, an outcome or something happening that they didn't expect, didn't turn out the way they wanted, some of those things. How did they work through that? Did they say, never, I'm never going to do that ever again? Or did they say, okay, if I just tweak that little bit? So it's all that resilience stuff too that they're cultivating. So yeah, it's incredible the learning, not just the financial literacy stuff, but they're learning a lot about themselves and a lot of other skills as well.
Liz, thank you so much for having this really wide-ranging conversation with me today. And I think it really goes to show there's no one way. I mean, personal finance is personal, whether it's for you, your friends, or your kids. And I just think this episode gives people a little bit to think about and maybe some reflection points. And if people want to learn a bit more about you or some of your other resources, where should they go?
Just head over to my website. It's a really basic, simple one, but if you want to get in contact, so it's just lizmcclardy.com is my website. Yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
Wonderful. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. And if you haven't listened to part one that I did with Liz late last year, we talk about money and relationships. So that's a good one as well, with a lot of reflection points for you to think about. Everything from today's episode will be in the show note. And Liz, thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the How To Money podcast. If you enjoyed this, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and send any questions our way via www.howtomoney.online. You can also catch us on Twitter and Instagram at HowToMoneyAUS, and we'd love to hear from you. You've been listening to the How To Money podcast.